come before thy footstool of mercy. And we kneel, Lord, before thee. We come, Lord, just as a beggar would come, because, Lord, we are as bankrupt as a beggar may be. We have nothing of ourselves. And, O Lord, we come before thee in as much need as ever we have come before thee before. We need thee, O God, to help us tonight to seek thy face. We need thee, Lord, to help us this evening to proclaim thy word. And Lord, we need thy help in the hearing of the word. And loving Father, we're asking tonight that thou would be pleased to come and sit with us, Lord, as thou didst often sit with thy disciples. Lord, come and sit with us tonight. As thou didst often minister to thy disciples, Lord, come and minister to us this evening. And may we know the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And, O Lord, in our study of thy word, we pray that we'll be taken up with the Savior. And as we seek the face of the Lord tonight, may we realize that we can only seek thee, Father, through the person and the work of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we realize afresh that without Christ we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we ask tonight we'll know the help of the Savior. And, Lord, we ask that thou would, at the very outset, cleanse us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Wash us, Lord, in the blood of Calvary. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. O wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And, O Lord, may it be our prayer each and every day, even as thou didst teach the disciples to pray, deliver us from evil. For, Lord, we live in an evil world, and we pray that thou wilt deliver us from that evil. Now, Lord, come in tonight and deliver us from wandering thoughts. And, O gracious Lord, help us tonight to be set upon Jehovah. May our thoughts be, Lord, of Him. And may our heart, Lord, be drawn nearer to Him. For Thy Word has told us of those that draw nigh to Thee with their lips, but, Lord, their heart is far from Thee. O gracious God, save us from such an experience as that. And grant, Lord, that both lips and heart, Lord, will be in communion tonight as we look to Thee and as we call upon Thy name. And so, Lord, bless us this evening and do our hearts good as we wait upon Thee. For we ask all these things in the Lord's name and for His glory alone. Amen. We're turning this evening in God's Word to the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. I'd like to welcome everyone tonight in the Savior's name. We are indeed glad to see you all. Remember the meetings on the Lord's Day, as we will be continuing our study in the churches in Asia. Looking at the church in Sardis this Lord's Day morning. And what a sad picture is painted for us here in Revelation 3. A dying church. Don't want to say too much about it tonight, but if you were to go to Asia today, there's no one living in Sardis. There's no witness. There's nothing. And so we can see that the dying church eventually died. May God save us from being a Sardis. But tonight we want to look again at the church in Thyatira. We didn't get time in the Lord's Day morning to finish our study in this church. And before we read these verses, I just got an update this afternoon of young Emily Fraser, and things are much better for her. She's up and about now, but the doctor has told her just to walk about, not to run or ride a bicycle or anything of that nature. And the blood is beginning to disappear from her eye, and she's able even to read. So her sight is there, and that's something certainly to be very thankful for. And what a mercy that she's able to see at all after the horrific accident that she had. So continue to remember her, and the doctor apparently wants to keep a close eye on her eye, and just monitor her progress. So do remember Emily in your prayers. Let's read these verses first of all, and then we'll make a brief recap of what we studied on the Lord's Day morning, and then conclude the message. But just to refresh our minds of what was happening in the church in Thyatira, we'll read from verse 18 of Revelation 2. "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." And again, this is just the old religion of the Nicolaitans that we have noted showed its head in the other churches, and here it is again. And while the name Nicolaitan is not found yet, the doctrine is there. And as we've said in this study and the letters to these churches, these old heresies appear again and again. And while they may not all bear the same name, it's just the old heresy being resurrected. And many of the heresies, that new doctrines or new heresies that come to the fore today, are just old doctrines and old heresies that the devil has used to attack the Church of Jesus Christ with for many, many years. But here it is again, the same thing that we can identify the doctrine of the Nicolaitans here in this verse 20. She has, "Jezebel has seduced my servants, the Lord said, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. The vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. The Lord will bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts this evening. Passing on from the introduction the first point we noted in this letter to the church at Thyatira was that God, the Lord Jesus, knew their works and he knew about the willing workers in the church. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. The Lord noted their industry. They had a burden for the work. And they were going to be blessed in the work, and those that are industrious in the Lord's work, God will bless them. The Lord also noted their involvement, as highlighted there in the words charity, faith, and patience, because all who are involved in the Lord's work know the need for charity and for faith and for patience. So that tells us that these workers were heavily involved, because they had to exercise faith and they had to exercise patience, and they most certainly had to have charity or love for those that they were ministering to. And then we noted their increase, because the Lord noted that the last to be more than the first, and the reference there is to their works. They didn't start off in a blaze of enthusiasm and then to see that enthusiasm fizzle out, but rather the very opposite was true, because they went on to do even more for the Lord, and the Lord saw that their latter end greatly increased. And then we moved on to consider for a time that the Lord saw in that church that there was a wicked woman there in the church, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The Lord had a few things against this church, and one, they tolerated this woman. This woman, Jezebel, they tolerated her person, they tolerated her profession. She said she was a prophetess. They tolerated her position. She took the position of the minister of the church. It's hard to believe that the angel of that church or the minister of that church should be so beguiled and taken in by this woman that she was given a position in the church. A position that only a called man of God should hold. And she was called or allowed to teach in the church. And as we pointed out in the Lord's Day, the teaching ministry there refers to what Paul spoke about in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. In the context of a local church assembly, Paul says that a woman is not to teach. She's not to lord authority over the man. The pulpit is for a man, and the man that is called of God, and not for these women preachers and women ministers that we have up and down the length and breadth of our land in many churches today. It's against God. It's against his teaching. And the Lord says, I have a few things against thee. And this was one of the things. And the Lord was against the church. He showed no sympathy whatsoever to this woman holding that position. They tolerated her practices because we're told that she had seduced the servants of the Lord to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And the Lord himself has his own way of describing practices. This woman Jezebel, who had wormed her way into the church and got to such a prominent position in the church, and this was the church of Jesus Christ. And yet we read in verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. That's how the Lord described the practices of Jezebel. The depths of Satan. this committing of adultery, this fornication, this sacrificing or eating that which was sacrificed unto idols. The Lord describes it as the depths of Satan. And there were those in the church in Thyatira who had gone to those depths. And the Lord says, I have a few things against you, and these were the things the Lord had against the church. You turn to 1 Corinthians 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and there we read in verse 2, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And again, to deliver such a one unto Satan. That's how seriously the Apostle Paul regarded the sin that was being permitted in the church at Corinth. And instead of the church mourning and lamenting over that sin, where Paul says, you are puffed up, you're filled with pride. And Paul says, regarding that individual, he ought to be delivered over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And we all know what Satan can do and what Satan did to God's servant Job. Not that Job had committed any sin, because there was none like him in all the earth. But we refer to Job to emphasize the power that Satan has. And this the Lord was going to use to correct and to discipline and chastise this individual. Paul says in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 5, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So there was a way of escape, and there was a way back to God, and it was through Christ our Passover, Paul says. And the same thing was being tolerated in the church in Thyatira. And what should have been done? Jezebel should have been put out of the church. And the church in Thyatira had tolerated this woman, then followed the tribulations for this woman. And we noted on the Lord's Day morning the words of verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And here's the Lord, and he describes the practices of this woman as the depths of Satan. And yet the Lord says, I gave her space to repent. And once more, this emphasizes for us the mercy of God. That someone who will even plunge down to the very depths of Satan, the Lord says, I will give them time to repent. The Lord said he will have mercy on them. And here's the Lord waiting. And he's waiting for this Jezebel and those whom she had bewitched, and he's waiting for them all to repent. That's just amazing. No wonder John Bunyan spoke about abounding grace, where sin abounds, and abounded here to the very depths of Satan, to as far down as Satan could go. And yet the Lord's grace goes even further. The Lord's grace goes deeper than that. Who can fathom the depth or measure the height or encompass the breadth and the width of God's mercy? And he gave the evildoers time and opportunity to repent. He showed more mercy, greater mercy to fallen man than he did to fallen angels. Because in 2 Peter 2 verse 4, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. And once the angels sinned, they were cast down to hell. They were not given any time to repent. Oh, the mercy of God to fallen man. The sinning angels were cast down to hell, and yet the Lord waited and tarried to see if the wicked would repent there in the church in Thyatira. And as we said, we look around us today and see what's going on in this world today, and we wonder, why doesn't God come and deal with the wickedness, deal with the evildoers? Instead of being cut off, they seem to prosper. What's the answer? The answer is, the Lord's mercy endureth forever. And then you have the woes from the Lord, because the Lord said that she did not repent, neither did her followers. For we read in verse 22, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." The Lord then pronounced his woes upon the wicked. "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works." They would be rewarded according to their works. And the Lord was pronouncing his woes. And those who were pleased to follow Jezebel would be with Jezebel in the judgment. He would cast them into the same bed. It's as if the Lord was saying, if you do not repent, I'll give you up to your sin. I'll cast you into the same bed, and I will bring tribulation upon you. I will deal with you and with your sin. And so if Jezebel and those who followed her were not going to repent, and the church was not going to rid themselves of this woman, the Lord would do it. The Lord was going to do it. The Lord would intervene, and he would deal with Jezebel. And he would deal with the evildoers. And why would he intervene? Because he wanted to preserve his church and preserve the witness in Thyatira. Because the Lord has said, I will build my church, and no Jezebel will hinder the building of my church. That's why the Lord would intervene. Then you have the witness of the Lord. He said, all the churches shall know that I am. All the churches will know that I am. That I am Jehovah. That I am he which searches the reins and hearts. All the churches will know. God will come in judgment, and everybody will know that he indeed is God. And as we pointed out, and really need to emphasize this, that is why there is such a reverence in God's house today. Why? Because people don't realize who God is when they come into the presence of God. They're coming into the presence of the great I Am, and they ought to behave themselves accordingly. Because the Lord has said that he will have all to reverence him, all who are about him. The psalmist has said, be still and know that I am God. And again, when God comes in revival power, people realize who God is. When God comes in revival, they suddenly recognize God and who he is. And that's why fear descends upon men and women, because revival, the moving of the Spirit of God, has so worked in the hearts of men and women, suddenly they realize how sinful they are and how holy God is. And there is a great fear. And then finally the Savior had a word for those who had turned from the woman. In verse 24, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine," have not this doctrine, "and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." And so the Lord has a word for those who did not follow Jezebel, who were not influenced by this woman, but rather had turned from Jezebel, had separated themselves from her, and maintained a separated stand. The Lord here commends them. And really the Savior, when you think of it, you look at these words, the Savior doesn't ask a great deal from any of us. He doesn't ask a great deal from us. What did he say? For he said in verse 24, at the end of the verse, "I will put upon you none other burden." None other burden than what? "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." That's all the Lord asks for. That's all the Lord asks for of his people. "I do not put any other burden upon you. All I ask is that what you have, you hold, and you hold fast till I come. You persevere till I come, and hold on to what you have." Of course, they had the truth. And they had pure doctrine. And they had that separated position. The Lord says, "Hold it fast till I come. Persevere. Don't surrender your position or your principles. Don't give up to pressure. Don't compromise. Don't fraternize with the enemy. Hold fast till I come." That's all the Lord asks for. Of course, holding fast sound doctrine, holding fast the truth, will bring us into many a conflict with the enemy, with the world and with the flesh and the devil. The devil wants to wrest the truth from us, but the Lord says, "Hold it fast." The flesh wants to compromise, but the Lord says, "Hold fast." The world would like to get into the church and destroy the church, but the Lord says, "Hold fast. And hold fast till I come." And then lastly, we have in this epistle a wonderful word for the church. The Savior, as he has done in the other epistles, finishes this letter with a word for the overcomer. A word for the overcomer. What does he promise the overcomer? Well, he says in verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." So the first thing that he promises the overcomer is power over the nations. What do we have today in this world? We see the power of the nations. We see the power that's wielded by the nations of the world. And they seem to, without seal, wield their power against the Church of Jesus Christ. They persecute believers. They put them in jail for taking a stand, for holding fast the truth, the word, and that which is set out in God's word. Just got the Evangelical Times today, and a quick glance over it, and there was a reference there to what is going on in Iraq and what the Muslims are doing to Christians. And there's a reference there to us, the power of the nations. And that may be multiplied again and again throughout the world, but the day is coming. When, dear child of God, when we trust we are overcomers, when we shall be given power over the nations, we shall be in that position of power and authority. And so the Lord says, I will give power over the nation. Sometimes today we feel that we're powerless to do anything. We see what's going on in our own land and the striving forward to pass the C-250 bill and legalize sodomite marriages, and we can protest and we just seem to be powerless to do anything. The day is coming when the power will be ours. It'll be a God-given power. God will give us power over the nations. Not only will we have power, but look at the position. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken. And shivers, even as I received of my Father. These words have a direct connection back into the Old Testament, into the book of Psalms. You turn back to Psalm 2. And there in Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9, and this is a messianic psalm, we read in verse 7, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, and thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. The Father is speaking to the Son. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And verse 9, Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Almost identical to the words that we have here in Revelation 2. He shall rule, that is the overcomer, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father. You can see the connection. It's a reference to Psalm 2 and what is written there. And Christ shall rule with a rod of iron, and Christ shall break those nations that have risen up against him, and he shall break them as a potter's vessel is broken, shattered into pieces. But the Lord says, this is the position and the power that I will give to the overcomer. In other words, believer, we shall sit and reign with Christ. We will be in that position with Jesus Christ. And we shall rule. And we shall behold the judgment of the nations. When Jesus Christ sits upon his throne, we shall sit as kings and princes upon thrones as well. This is the portion of the overcomer. And of course, Christ is our overcomer. And anything we do, we can only do in and through Jesus Christ. And if Christ is the overcomer, and he has given that rod of iron, and he shall dash in pieces those nations that forget God, and if we are called overcomers, we're overcomers because of Christ. We're overcomers in Christ. And with Christ and in Christ, we shall rule also with a rod of iron. It's a wonderful word to the church. It's a wonderful word for the overcomer. He's promised power. He's promised position. Best of all, he's promised this prize. What is the prize? And I will give him the morning star. That's the prize. Turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. So Christ describes himself as the bright and the morning star. I, Jesus, am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And what is our reward? And what is our prize? Jesus Christ. He's always our reward. I will give him, that is the overcomer, the morning star. And dear believer, when you think of it, we are overcomers because of Christ. We are in Christ. And we overcome because of Christ. He is the one we look to. We want to overcome for Jesus Christ. We work to this end. We work to this end that we will one day see Jesus Christ. And when we see him, we shall say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. That's our prize. That's what we all ought to be working towards. Seeing him who is the bright and the morning star. And then it closes with, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To each of the churches, the Lord had to say this. He had to say it. Give ear to my word. And remember, it's the Spirit. Christ speaks to us through his Spirit. Give ear to the Spirit of God when he speaks. We shall see in the Lord's Day morning that Christ is the one. And we read off in chapter 3, verse 1, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. What does that mean? The seven spirits of God. We consider that in the will of God on the Sabbath morning. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Amen.